This show is brought to you by ERN, Entertainment Right Now.
Hi, we're back at Pop Tech Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Dorge. I'm here with Richard Gunther of Digital Media Zone's Home On. Richard, let's get further to the bottom of this. I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, so sure. So, you know, you were talking about the $200 million paycheck. When they were purchased, when Revolve was purchased by Nest a year and a half ago, they were purchased for the sum, as you said, of $200 million. And at the time, that was thought of as fairly low. I think there were a lot of people that were surprised by that figure, because here was a product that, you know, the Revolve Hub, its intent was to unite, to pull together the ability to control all these different types of devices that you bought to put in your home. And it didn't matter really whose manufacturer's device you bought. You could buy something that was designed to work with a Z-Wave system, or you could buy something that was designed to work with Lutron's products, or, you know, all these different things. And, you know, there's all these different types of systems and compatibility and protocols and everything out there. And the promise of Revolve is that it just took that off the table. You didn't have to worry about that. And it was a great idea. So $200 million, people thought, well, geez, that's
nothing.
That's nothing. Why didn't it go for more? Well, I think very quickly what we learned is that this was really an acquisition hire. What Nest was doing was they wanted to bring the smart people that founded Revolve into Nest and learn from them and use that to build up their Works with Nest program. You may have seen little Works with Nest labels on
different
devices.
Definitely.
And the guy who, one of the founders of Revolve, Mike Soucy, is now in charge of the Works with Nest program. They you know, brought that in and helped that to expand compatibility of products with the Nest product. So that's a good thing. And I think that they really never intended any long-term, they meaning Nest, never really intended to keep this Nest hub up and running for all that long. And in fact, there's debate in the industry if this concept of a hub is really even necessary anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, considering you can run almost all of these, I mean, I know I've been looking at a Nest myself. I keep, my wife keeps dragging me past the Nest counter at Home Depot. You know, I'm like, no, I want one of these. And it, I mean, from what I can tell, you can control it all from your smartphone anyway. So why do you really need a hub?
You can. The promise of the hub and what the hub still brings to some homes that aren't capable of doing this themselves yet is that ability to buy one thing that's designed to work with one system and another thing that's designed to work with a different system and be able to use them together. And that's not always easy. Let's say you have your smart doorbell, but let's say you also have some smart lights from Philips. And let's say that you also have a Sonos system. And those are three different things with three different apps. And you start to get, you know, this is a silly term. And how horrible is it that we have to use three different apps to control these three different types of things in the house? But it is actually kind of limiting, because it means that you can't necessarily use them all together. And so what these smart home hubs try to do is they try to provide a way to let things happen together. So, for example, when someone walks up to your door and rings the doorbell, maybe you want to turn some lights on so that it's obvious that someone's home, perhaps even if someone isn't home. That's something that you can do if these things can communicate with each other. Nowadays, you're starting to see manufacturers want to do this themselves. So we're now starting to see products like the Ring video doorbell be able to communicate with other systems so that stuff like that can happen without people having to invest in another product, a hub, which some people just refer to as a box of radios. You know,
true. And doesn't it, I mean, hasn't this always been our dilemma? You know, I mean, even as far back as, you know, VHS and Beta. You know, I mean, this kind of thing has been going on forever. It's this system versus that system. I mean, even I even see it in digital cameras. One of the things that drives me nuts in that world is that, you know, Nikon makes 6 different camera platforms and they all use different batteries. You know, it's like, you know, which means more batteries, more chargers, more stuff. It doesn't feel that smart to me at that point in time.
I agree. It's a compatibility issue. And you're right. We've seen this format war before. It's just in a different color now.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and in the end, I mean, I think, you know, guys like us do this every day, so we're pretty ramped up. But, you know, the average, I'm surprised at just how completely overwhelmed the average consumer is. I mean, they freak out when you start talking about this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, manufacturers kind of don't care. And that's frustrating, right? I mean, look at Sony as an example. Sony puts out products and they're notorious for putting out products that have proprietary standards to Sony, even though there are industry standards for whatever. A lot of companies just don't care. They're like, nope, we're going to do it our way.
Well, we need to cut to break again quick, Richard, and we'll talk about this some more. I'm your host, Jeff Dorge. I'm here on Pop Tech Radio. I'm nesting with Richard Gunther of Digital Media Zone's Home On, somewhat, and we'll be right back.
This show is presented in part by Subaru. Love. It's what makes Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back.